Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I read something this week on social media that has lingered with me all week. I don't know if you ever read something and it just sticks with you and you think about it and think about it and think about it. Well, this post said, just because it's hard right now doesn't mean you are doing it wrong. Just because it's hard right now doesn't mean you are doing it wrong. And as I have thought about this week, I realized, confession time here, that life has been so hard lately, for me, for so many of us, and I have been striving and working so hard to make it less hard. And I read that and I thought, just because it's hard right now doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. And I wondered if that would be a good word for any of you. Because life is hard for a lot of us right now. Life is hard here at Holly Grove. In the last year alone, we have had 10 funerals. In fact, this week I'm doing one more funeral. So in 1 year's span, I will have done 11 funerals. That's a lot of death and loss. And as I've talked to some of you in the past few weeks, and we've been talking about these numbers, most of you know more than 10 or 11 people who have died in the past year. I think someone told me they knew over 30 people in the last year who had died. Not all COVID-related. Sometimes we just get older and our bodies fail us, and sometimes bad things happen even when we're younger. But there's been a lot of loss and sorrow and sadness as a church community, as a community here in Lexington, not to mention if we went around to every single person and talked about all of the ways for each of us that life is hard or challenging for us or for someone in our family. Maybe it's physical struggles, struggles with our health, struggles with our body, some mental health challenges, folks struggling with work or school. School can be really hard no matter what age you are, but when you're inching up toward middle school, it can be really, really hard. And so that word, just because it's hard, doesn't mean you are doing something wrong. It's just that life can be hard sometimes. Well, today's Old Testament lesson is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. A couple of Sundays ago, we read his call story, and we return to his words today. Jeremiah was no stranger to difficulty. He himself had a very hard life and lived during a really, really difficult time period in the life of Israel. When he began his career as a prophet, he stood in the shadow of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, and at the end of his career, he was in exile, away from his home, away from everything he ever knew. He lost his home and the life that he knew, just as did all the Israelites, when the Babylonians conquered and destroyed their holy city. Jeremiah and many of the Israelites were forced to flee and let go of everything they had ever known. Jeremiah knew this was coming. He knew it would happen. He preached and warned against it, but still it happened. And by the time we read his words in chapter 17, he's preaching a new message. He's telling the Israelites that exile is the new normal, and he exhorts them on how to live in their new normal. In part, the Israelites didn't want to be in exile. Certainly they didn't, but they certainly did not want to accept that exile was their new normal. They rallied against it, they resisted it, They fought it, much like we see in the world around us and maybe within us as we resist and fight against the fact that we are living in a new normal 2 years into the pandemic, that we will not ever be able to go back to the way things were, no matter how much we might want to, that things are different now. We can't go back to a pre-pandemic world, just like the Israelites could not go back to a pre-exile world. Jeremiah wanted the Israelites to accept their new reality, and more than that, to live faithfully in it. I think we can all attest to the fact that it's not necessarily easy to remain faithful in times of big changes or transitions. But still, Jeremiah wrote to the Israelites and spoke to them, asking them, how would they respond? Would they live as though they were living in a desert? Or would they respond by being a people who were planted in this strange world, like trees who are planted next to a river? One is a path of trust and dependence on God, and one isn't. People in biblical times did not have the access to clean and safe water that we do. We can go to one of the many sinks in our homes and turn the water on, and it just appears. We can flush our commodes, and it just happens. We can push buttons on our washing machine, and the tub fills up. But in biblical times, to people who were desperate for water, the tree was symbolic of life that could withstand both drought and storm. When we think of trees, and if I were to ask you to draw a tree, we might draw a trunk, maybe some branches and leaves sprinkled out. Or if I were to draw it, I'm not that artistic, I'd draw a trunk and then the top like this. But we often forget the most important part of the trees, the roots. We don't see the roots, and so they're easily to forget about them, but the roots are the most significant part of the tree. Isn't that interesting? The part of the tree we don't even see, the part of the tree that is at work when we have no idea that it's at work, is the most significant part of the tree. In the darkness, this important work is happening underground. The roots reach deep into the earth to find moisture, to find sustenance, to find nourishment. And it's what happens in the dark, that unseen work, that produces fruit in the light. It's that work in the dark that produces the ability for the tree to provide shade on a hot summer day, for wood to be cut into pieces that can build a home, to create branches that bird nests can sit upon, providing homes for birds, to provide fruit that nourishes our bodies. All of this only possible because of what happens in the dark. So thinking about roots, what kind of people are we? And what kind of people do we want to be? Because maybe where we are today isn't where we have to stay. Are we like a shrub living in the wilderness, parched, finding no relief? Are we unable to withstand drought or storm because we don't have a solid and strong and deep root system? Or are we like a tree, planted by the water, sending our roots out into that stream? I want to point out that both endure hard times. Just because you might be a tree planted by the river with a root system going out doesn't mean that we are immune to struggles and challenges. But the difference is that because the tree by the stream is so rooted and has so much access to that stream, that it doesn't fear when the heat comes. Its leaves stay green despite that. And even in times of drought, it is still able to produce fruit. Both types of growth are in direct relation to our relationship with God, to the depth of relationship and the closeness of relationship that we share with God, or that we don't, dictates what kind of root system we will have. Spend a little bit of time today or this week thinking about this. Honestly ask yourselves and reflect on what kind of relationship you have with God. Honestly ask yourself, what kind of root system do you have? And where are you planted? If your roots are deep and are being nourished by God's grace and love and mercy, keep leaning into God. Keep investing in your relationship with God. Keep growing your roots. If you are in a season of drought, and I know that many of you are, just rest. You don't need to strive to find water. Let your deep roots rest in God, and let God nourish you and refresh and renew you. If you are more like the shrub, if you feel uprooted, if you feel like your root system can't withstand the parched places of life, first of all, don't feel shame. Sometimes when we realize that our root systems aren't what we hope or wish they would be, we can feel shame, and that is not helpful. So first of all, if that's where you are, don't feel shame. Instead, just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And then come to the font and remember that God adopted you as God's children. And then come to the table and be fed and nourished with forgiveness and love. Then intentionally focus on your relationship with God. Spend time with God in prayer. Spend time with God in God's word. Continue to come to worship. Continue to be God's hands and feet in the world. Spend time growing your root system into God's love and care. It probably goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Many of us go through life thinking that we are strong and invincible, that we can handle anything and everything that life might throw at us. Or we might think that life won't ever throw anything at us, that kind of stuff only happens to other people. And as such, we don't spend much time rooting ourselves in God. And then when the storms of life come, we suddenly want that deep root system. But it doesn't quite work that way, does it? Roots don't grow strong and deep overnight. Growing roots and root systems, it takes time and it takes intentionality. You don't start building your root system when the drought comes. You start building it now so that when it comes, and it will, that your roots are already firmly and securely planted by the water, and you can draw up what you need to withstand the drought and storm. Beloved children of God, which is each and every one of you, in the waters of baptism, God adopted you as God's beloved sons and daughters. Even before you understood how root systems work, even before you understood that life can be hard, before all of that, God chose you and claimed you as God's own, loving you so deeply that God sent his only Son to be living water for us so that we would never thirst again. Jesus comes to us not because of anything we do or don't do or because we deserve it or any of that. God loves us no matter what. And God's love frees us to grow roots. God's love frees us to love God with our hearts and our minds and our strength. Today and every day, God invites us to be deeply rooted in God. God invites us and longs for us to receive nourishment, renewal, refreshment from the never, ever ending well of God's mercy, love, and grace. Come to the well, taste the living water that is for us. Amen.